So yeah, as Kev said, excuse me, my name is Tim Malone. I'm the Family Ministry Director here, if you do not know me. And you know, sometimes it's kind of difficult just being a kind of one and done kind of preacher, because you have to find a passage, right? You know, and Billy didn't let me pick up Ephesians this time because he's loving it. So I had to, and he's doing a great job. So I had to like, well, Jewel, what am I going to do? That's my wife, Julie. And she said, well, Easter's over. What do you do now? And I said, well, we put our decorations away. We get out cornhole. We get ready. You know, it's going to be like hot, right? It's freezing. All of a sudden, it's going to be summer. We're going to miss spring again. It's true. And then Julie's like, no, not that kind of Easter's over now, but like Easter's over now. Jesus, we celebrated last week. He rose from the grave. He's up, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us every day. We're waiting for him to come back. What are we to do? And he gives us something to do. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And Billy, Dave, and I were away a couple weeks ago on a pastor's retreat, and I got to go through the book of Mark and the book of Joshua. And Joshua really stuck with me, and Dave encouraged me, well, you know, you should talk about Joshua and the story of Caleb. I'm like, the story of Caleb and Joshua? Dave, there's no story of Caleb and Joshua. Well, guess what? There is a story of Caleb and Joshua, and I never knew that. And but this idea of, do you know what Joshua's about? What's the one verse you all know? Be strong and courageous. Yes, that's been in my heart lately, and I've been rolling that over. What does that mean? So I'm going to be talking about that today, this idea of being courageous in the Lord. So we're going to jump right in to the middle of the book of Joshua, and this is just a one-point sermon, right? Just a one-point sermon. Billy can do three. I can only do one. And it's this. Courage, fueled by faith in God's promises, gives us the ability to face trials, temptations, gives us the ability to face these things with hope, confidence, and allows us to honor God in the midst of it. Courage fueled by faith in God's promises gives us the ability to face our trials and temptations with hope and confidence, and allows us to glorify God in the midst of all of this. And courage is taking the action you believe is right in spite of the fear you have about taking that action. So faith fuels courage. And for those of us in Christ, we have every single reason in the world to be confident, because we have the Lord with us, who has said, I give life abundantly. So he charges us to come after him and find him and serve him. And that's what we're going to do today. So let me pray for us, and then we'll look into the book of Joshua. God, our great Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the hope and confidence you give your people to deal with life in a fallen world. Encourage us this morning, I pray, that we might live for you, that we might have eyes of faith, and that we might be able to step out and act in a way that honors you. So bless us as we look into your word. Give me the words to say, I pray, Father, in your name. Amen. Okay, so let me just give you a little bit of background before we jump in. So we're in the middle of Joshua. This is after Dave's sermon a few weeks ago. They were wandering in the wilderness. Now they're actually entering the promised land, okay? And there's two people of interest in the book of Joshua, Joshua and Caleb. And the interesting thing about these two, they're the only two people, the only two adults that made it from the plagues in Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. Only two. So pretty special guys here in some ways. And so we're going to pick up the story right here. There's a lot of names in here. Don't get caught up in the names, okay? Although we're going to get caught up in one name, but that's okay. But just try to focus on Caleb. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke his word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in that day Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest among the Anakim, and the land had rest from the war. Okay. Hey, Joel, can you bring up my water? My throat is dry. Okay. So we're going to look at Caleb. He had faith in the word and how his faith gave him the courage. Thank you. How his faith gave him the courage to fight an opponent. Now, these Anakins, it's not Anakin Skywalker, okay, but it's kind of like Darth Vader, but these were descendants of the giants. So these guys were big, and they were strong, and they were plentiful, and the odds were, no way you're taking this promised land. But guess what? God does not pay attention to the odds. As a matter of fact, he likes them stacked against them, right? So let's check out, who is this kid Caleb? He's not really a kid anymore. He's 85. But he's like a kid, though, right? So Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite. Now, guess what? Caleb is not Jewish. That's shocking because of this little thing here, the Kenzanite, okay? Also, the name Caleb means dog. I don't know if you know that, if you named your son Caleb. That it means dog man. But, the interesting thing here is that he was probably not Jewish. And it's amazing because when Moses selects the 12 spies to go, Caleb, of the tribe of Judah, which is the tribe of David, which is the tribe of Jesus, he gets picked. But it seems like he is not a Hebrew. And these people were the son of Esau. Okay, and they were related to the Edomites, and they were enemies of Israel. They had a lot of skirmishes and war with one another. So therefore, this Caleb, this amazing Caleb, was born outside of the covenant of the people of God. He was not Jewish, but yet he identified with the Jews in Egypt. So Caleb, the outsider, becomes an insider. And I think that's just a sweet, amazing, great point, that we are all called to faith from every tribe, every nation, all around the world. There are no favorites. There's room for everyone at the table. And do not think there are certain types of people who are excluded. We should all be excluded because none are worthy. But God has made us worthy. And he invites the dog man in to come and serve him. And he invites each one of us to come in and know him and serve him. It's amazing. He's so good. So Caleb is one of the 12 spies. If you don't know the story, they went into the promised land. They looked around. They came back. Caleb and Joshua were like, we got this. God's for us. Let's take them. And the other 10 were like, no, we can't do it. And they got all the people up in a frenzy. And the people wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to stone Joshua. They wanted to stone Caleb. Go read it in Numbers. And that is why, as Dave preached, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. So that's the story of Caleb. Up to date now, we find out that he is now 85 years old. But it's a very interesting fact here, right? Physically, he's how old? He's only 40 years old. Now, if we could bottle that and sell that, we could feed the world and buy a football team on the side. I mean, you think about our culture right now. You know, we are a culture about exercise and lifting. Gen Z, I'm very impressed with your exercise ethic. It is amazing. Really, you guys really pay attention to that. You work out. It's very important. I think that's great. But a word of caution, there is a temptation here to make fitness an idol where your workout is the top priority. And we spend money on shakes and proteins and memberships and vitamins, and we work our body to exhaustion. Why? So we can have the perfect abs, right? That's what we're after, or the perfect biceps or the perfect calves, so we can look perfect, you know? So we do all this to sculpt our body. And this, and today, we've really focused on that. If we got the picture here. Okay, on the right is the G.I. Joe of my day. You know, he was just a normal-looking dude, right? He was just an Army guy, G.I. Joe. But now look at him. He's got muscles on top of muscles. You know, he's like the Hulk as G.I. Joe. You know, we're really, really focused on this, okay? And it's interesting. Paul says, I lost my place here. Okay. Paul says this, physical training is good. It's good. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. So, my friends, do not forget about the training in godliness, which is much more important than your training in your physical body. And guess what? Just a little info for you young people. Your body's going to break down. It will break down. You can eat all the perfect foods, exercise all the time. You're going to break down, right? Billy just went hiking. How's your body feel?
Awful.
Awful. He went hiking, but, you know. But, you know, so, you know, stay fit. But, you know, at the end of the day, your body's wasting away, okay? But the inner man is being renewed daily by the Lord. And that's what we need to give top billing to. That's what's going to last. Okay, so Caleb says, I'm 85, but I'm 40. Okay, you can't get a workout routine to do that. He has been supernaturally preserved. Why? Well, because he's been faithful. And God promised that he would go in and have his land. So God has sustained Caleb. And he is, here he is. He's ready to fight. 85 years old, 45 years. He's been waiting for this. And he goes in. And just as Pastor Dave taught me, he came in and he takes his land in Hebron there. He conquers the giants. So I just want to look at Caleb just for a minute, and then we're going to go into application. But, you know, I was like, what makes Caleb different than all the other people there? It's not that Caleb knew God's promises any better. All of Israel heard the promises of God. God told them what he was going to do. He told them he's going to take them out of slavery, and he's going to give them the land of Canaan. He promised to do that. Okay? So everyone knew that. And it's not that Caleb had experienced more of God's power, right? This is interesting, right? They all saw what God did. He sent the plagues. They all saw it. He parted the Red Sea. They walked right through. They were right there. They saw it. So it's not like Caleb had that advantage. So what is the difference? Caleb believed God. He had faith. And on that faith, that gave him courage. Caleb knew that the land, taking the land, was something that God wanted. And if God wants it, if he's going to make it happen, nothing or no one can stand in the way. Right? He had faith. And yet, for these other people, they saw all these miracles, and yet what happened? They were unmoved. It's just, wow. Lord, give us faith, right? Help us not to miss you. These people saw you work in miraculous ways, and they still couldn't trust you. Help us, Lord, to trust you. So Caleb trusts the Lord. He understands the Lord, and he takes the promised land. Now, it is interesting that, you know, as they took the promised land, the people followed Joshua, Caleb too a little bit. But it's interesting that their faith fueled other people's action too. And, you know, leaders, parents, all of y'all out there, your faith can fuel other people's faith as well. And we need to tell our stories of faith and what God is doing in each other's lives, because faith fuels faith, right? We're not to live like little isolated people in our own little isolated world, okay? We are to encourage each other. Faith fuels faith, and that's exactly what happened. Caleb takes the land. He drives out the giants. And one final thought about Caleb. Only 30 verses about him, but six times the scripture says this: Caleb fully followed the Lord. And only two people were called God's servant in the Old Testament: Moses and Caleb. The dog man, regarded as an honorable Lord's servant because he believed and he followed the Lord. Okay? Now, none of us in here are Caleb. Well, not that Caleb, at least. There might be some Calebs in here. Maybe you're thinking about changing your name. I don't know. But we are all called to this same faith. Everyone in the entire world is called to trust this Jesus, to trust that the Lord died for our sins, rose again, and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that through what he has done, we can come into his family. We can have the eternal, abundant life that he promised. Every single one of us is called to faith. And I'm calling you to faith this morning. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, it's time to jump on the bandwagon. He has defeated sin and death. He is victorious. All who are with him will triumph over sin and death. And all who are not will be shut out of the kingdom forever. Because that's how big this God is. So he's calling us all to faith. And today is the day. Do not wait. Today is the day the Lord is calling you to faith. Faith. What is faith? It's confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we cannot see. Okay, faith is not seen with our physical eyes. And I hope that we can develop spiritual eyes so we can see the Lord and what he's doing. I feel like I'm like Bartimaeus. Lord, help me to see. Lord, open my eyes. Jesus, help. And he does. He gives us eyes of faith. And you know what? There's an ethereal faith out there today where people live, they live by feelings. They live by their gut. They live by their desires, and they think that's going to be a good life. We have something so much better, so much deeper, so much more solid. Faith in the Lord Jesus. He calls us to trust him and follow him. And in Jesus, all of God's promises are yes. Yes, we are justified. We are sanctified. We are glorified. We will persevere, guaranteed by the blood of Christ. And one of the most precious promises he gives us is his Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans. I won't say good luck. See you in a while. No, he sends his Spirit to live inside of us. What a powerful promise. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Father, please give us your Spirit. So we're called to grasp these promises found in God's word. And faith gives us the courage we need to put these promises into action. Courage to face what we have to face. Courage to fight the good fight. Caleb had a sword. We have the Spirit. And through the Spirit, Paul says, we are more than conquerors. So we are equipped for battle. The question is, who are we fighting? That's a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. Our enemies, it's not your boss. Our enemy is not the person that let you down. Your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not your spouse. It's not the government. It's not the teacher. It's not yourself. Okay? Paul tells us who our enemies are. Listen to this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What? We're fighting that? We are. The stakes are incredibly high. This enemy is vicious and unrelenting. But this enemy can be dismantled by our faith. Right? Our faith and our courage to the Lord Jesus. It might not be noticed on the news. You might not get any likes for it on Instagram. Someone might not come up and pat your back. But it is noticed by these spiritual forces of evil. They do not want you to know this Jesus. They do not want you to follow this Jesus. They do not want you to take up your cross and follow him. They want you to be lazy and comfortable and following your own way and pumping that out. No, I've stopped that. Okay, sorry. But they want the spiritual forces, our enemies, they want to see us live faithless, ineffective lives. That's their goal. And how do we come over these enemies? By living a faithful life. By trusting in the Lord. Evil is overcome with good. Those who persecute us, we pray for. Those who are enemies, those are the people we love. We bear with one another. We carry each other's burdens. We forgive those who hurt us. We give not out of our extra, but out of our daily needs. We tell others about faith in this Jesus. And every act of faith is seen by our Father in heaven. He sees everything. And we can honor him just with these small little steps. And every time we do this, we peel back the darkness. And we shine the light of Christ. Nothing is unnoticed, and nothing you do is unimportant because the stakes are that high. Let's put our faith in Jesus and let's get on with it. We can do that. He gives us his Spirit. Let's fight the trials. We all have trials and we all have temptations. And I notice in my life what I tend to do is I tend to get all up here. I tend to overestimate the enemy and I underestimate the Lord. And that's why God's been giving me this verse. What can man do to me? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? The Lord, his yoke is light. Come, all ye heavy laden. So, my friends, What are your eyes of faith? What are you afraid? Are these trials and temptations, are they too much for you? Or do you think they're too much for you? Are you forgetting about the power that we have? What are your eyes focused on? What you can see or the promises of God? We have the power of Christ. Do not give up. Kill the sin you're struggling with. You can do it. Give grace to that person who doesn't deserve it. And praise the Lord. Praise Him, especially in those times of darkness and those times when you're not even sure if He cares. That is the most important time of all to give Him praise, because He is able, my friends. He is able to do all. He fights for us. These are momentary afflictions, and they will be eclipsed by glory. I think I've made my point. I just want to close with this verse from David. You know, David was, he was always in some kind of trouble or trial. Did you ever notice that? He was always, something was always wrong. He was being betrayed. He was being attacked. The only time he had peace, what did he do? He went out and committed his two worst sins. But I love in the Psalms, what did he do when he saw his failures? When he saw he was overwhelmed to the point of death. And here's from Psalm 27:10. He said, I'm not sure if he's talking to us or himself, but I'm talking to you. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. He will do what He says He will do. My friends, take courage. Trust Him. Have eyes of faith to follow Him wherever He calls, and tear back the darkness as you follow your Lord to home. Let's pray. God, thank You that we get to be a part of the greatest battle of all time. Thank You that You invite people in from far off, the unexpected Calebs in the world. Lord, help us. We're in this physical world. Trials are hard. Suffering is hard. Temptations are many. We need You. Give us eyes of faith that we might see You. Give us hearts of courage that we might live for You. And Lord, help us to encourage one another and help us to tell our stories of faith that You might receive all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen.